1 Samuel 16:7 tells us that the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Hi, I'm Rob West. You might look like you're doing fine on the outside, but how's your heart these days? Perhaps it's time for a heart check and some reassurance from God's Word. And then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, when you were a child, I'm sure your parents had to help you with an attitude adjustment from time to time. Now, as an adult, you're not under the discipline of your mom and dad, but you still may need the occasional attitude check, especially in the area of finances. Here's what I mean. The Bible makes it clear that there are wrong attitudes and right attitudes when it comes to money and possessions. Your financial attitudes and actions are an outward indication of what's going on in your heart, your spiritual health. Jesus explains the problem to his disciples in Luke 7, 21-23, "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." Well, that's a pretty comprehensive list of evil. And what it tells us is that wrong attitudes about money also come from the heart. That includes things like greed, a selfish desire for more than you need, and envy, which is resentment about someone else having what you want. Other serious heart issues spring from the sin of pride, where you consider yourself better than others because of what you have. Dishonesty, fear, and even bitterness are other money attitudes the Bible warns against. Satan tempts us into these attitudes to draw us away from God. If you're a Christian, choosing to give in to these sins makes you ineffective for God's kingdom. But if you do struggle with attitudes of envy or pride, you're in good company. Even the Apostle Paul faced temptations like these. Here's what Paul wrote in Romans 7, 21-24. "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am." Well, then Paul solves the dilemma we all face. "Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." We've talked about the wrong attitudes about money and how they lead us astray. Right attitudes about money have the opposite effect. These include commitment to serving Christ, faithful stewardship, gratitude, and even a desire for wisdom. I could also add a long list of biblical virtues, including love, generosity, humility, and kindness, among others. Financial teacher Larry Burkett used to say these are spiritual values reflected through your finances because having the right heart attitude about money honors God. Living with these virtues makes your financial life work better because you're putting God first and trusting Him to provide instead of leaning on your own understanding. Righteousness isn't a guarantee that things will be easy or even that you'll experience material prosperity in this life. But what you'll have is peace and the opportunity to follow and serve Jesus. In John 10:9, Jesus promised, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." Psalm 37 also promises a hopeful future for those who choose righteousness in Christ over sin. "Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." And finally, Romans 8:10 emphasizes the key to living with godly attitudes. "But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because of righteousness." So is it time for a financial attitude check? Remember, how much money you have doesn't really matter. It's your attitude about money and possessions that's important. Attitudes of pride, selfishness, greed, envy, and dishonesty are sin, leading to bad consequences, including fear, despair, frustration, and defeat. On the other hand, when you follow Christ, confessing your sins and pursuing godly heart attitudes, you will experience a closer walk with the Lord and the blessings of peace and hope. If you're not sure how to change your attitudes, ask God for help. We can also help you here. Just visit our FaithFi community at faithfi.com. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. Back with much more just after this.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Today marks President's Day in the United States, an occasion to honor those who have governed at the highest level. God's Word says something along those lines as well, but it applies to believers in every country. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2, "I urge that prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority." So we should all take the time to pray for our leaders regularly, whether they're doing the things we approve of or not. We need to ask the Lord to bless them with the wisdom to rule justly and rightly, and that they would know and confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You can get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
My grocery bill went up 11% this year. Gas, utilities, rent, all went up. But my paycheck, the same. I also pay for my own healthcare, a huge expense. A friend recommended Christian Healthcare Ministries as an option to insurance, and CHM helps pay for medical needs while allowing some breathing room in my budget. Open enrollment is here, so make the switch today with potential cost savings up to 40%. Christian Healthcare Ministries at chministries.org/faithfi.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in Securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope. And now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and His salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon or call 888-201-5577.
Well, so glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance right here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and it's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd look forward to tackling your questions today on anything financial, help you run those through the lens of biblical wisdom, and see if we can help you make a wise decision in light of biblical truth. We'll also welcome Bob Dahl to the broadcast today. A little later in our program, Bob is Chief Executive Officer and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. He's a frequent contributor here, and he'll stop by with his early in the week market commentary. That's right, as we start a new week, what are we looking at? Economic data, new information might be coming out with regard to the status of the economy, and what might all that mean for stocks? That's later in the broadcast. We'll look forward to having Bob here today. But again, lines open right now for your questions at 800-525-7000. All right, let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Texas. Jeff, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Hey, I have a question. So I just opened up a brokerage account, just a standard brokerage account, and I'm going to open up an IRA account, a Roth IRA. And I was wondering, are there any rules of thumb or principles things that I should consider when balancing how much money I'm putting in to these funds? I want to make the money in the stock market just to help, you know, over the next 5-10 years with purchases, to add a little extra spending money to the cars that I might be buying, or any major purchases, you know, trying to invest a little bit to turn that money into more so I can get something out of it. But I just want to make sure I have a healthy balance between what I'm putting in my retirement account and what I'm putting in the regular brokerage account.
Yeah. Makes sense, Jeff. I love the way you're approaching this, and I'll give you some thoughts and then we can kind of work through it. Number one is, you know, one approach is to start with the retirement portion and say, okay, how much should I be putting away for retirement? Now, apart from some in-depth retirement planning, which I would recommend, where you actually look at, you know, where are you today? What is your ultimate retirement savings goal in terms of the amount you need to generate the income in addition to Social Security or other known retirement income sources that you'll have? What will you ultimately need to be able to fund your retirement so that you can live off the income and the, you know, a reasonable withdrawal rate? And then you could kind of back into, okay, then with a reasonable rate of compounded growth, how much do I need to put away each month or each year in order to achieve that goal? That could be a starting point. Just as a basic rule of thumb, you know, typically we would say, as long as you're not, you know, starting really late, putting away 10 to 15% of your income would be a great goal. Now, usually we would say, let's start with your company-sponsored plan, because often there's some matching involved, and we certainly want to take advantage of that free money if that's an option for you. But then pivoting over to that Roth IRA or a Roth 401k, if it's available, I think is a great option, just because you're putting in after-tax dollars, but you're getting that tax-free growth, which will really benefit you down the road. But that 10 to 15% number is from all retirement sources. So, you know, if you're contributing to a 401k and then you're doing a Roth on top of it, we would say, okay, the goal between all of these various types of retirement accounts is 10 to 15%. So that would be a good starting point, you know, as number one. Number two would be, let's look at these other savings goals that you have and determine, number one, you know, is the time horizon appropriate for you to actually be investing this money? Because if this is money you're looking at, let's say, in less than 3 years, needing to access for, you know, a replacement vehicle or a home purchase or something like that, then we probably don't want to put it in the stock market, simply because you just don't have the runway to be able to absorb, you know, let's say a major market correction, or even, you know, a major recession of some kind. We're not expecting that for this year, but, you know, when we get out 1, 2, 3, 4 years, you know, you may be in a situation where right about the time you need the money, the market's down 20 or 30+%, and now you're having to sell at a loss, which is why we typically say at a minimum you need a 5-year runway, preferably 10. But once you match up the time horizon to the actual investments that you're selecting, then I think you can say, okay, what would I ultimately like to have, and over what time period, so that I have the money I need set aside for that car purchase or whatever those kind of near-term savings goals are, and then we can look at how much you'd need to put in per month to reach those goals, again, with a reasonable rate of compounded growth. And I think once you have both of those numbers, kind of the retirement at 10 to 15% and how much you need to achieve your goals, now what you may find is, I can't do everything, and then that's when we begin to make some decisions. And I would prioritize, you know, the long-term retirement savings over those short-term goals, because those can be delayed if necessary in many cases. Does that make sense, though?
That does. So 10 to 15% should be focused on the retirement, and basically don't consider anything else until we've got the long-term settled down, is what I'm hearing from you.
I think that's right, with a couple of exceptions. One would be, you know, if you don't have your emergency fund, which is 3 to 6 months worth of expenses and in liquid savings, I would really prioritize that even before the retirement. At least get 1 month there in the bank, so you're not having to fall back on credit cards or something else when the unexpected comes. Two would be if you have a known expense that, you know what, we've got a wedding coming up on this date, or we've got a car that we know is on its last legs, and so, you know, we want to try to prioritize that. You might, you know, do that in exchange for not maxing out your retirement, knowing that you can, you know, do that a little bit later. So there's a balance there that you need to arrive at. But I think, yeah, starting with that 10 to 15% on retirement and then backing into the other numbers is the right approach. And again, making sure you're not putting money in the market that you need in, let's say, 3 years or, you know, 5 years or less, I would be careful there.
Well, I really appreciate the advice. Thank you very much.
Happy to do it, Jeff. Let me send you a gift. I'm going to send you a book that I think will be helpful to you. It's called the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, and it really helps to just unpack a lot of these ideas that I'm talking about and give you maybe a track to run on all through the lens of Scripture. Again, it's called the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, and if you stay on the line, we'll get your information and get that right out to you. Jeff, thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. Lines are open today, folks. We're taking your calls. I've got room for a few more right now at 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Let's go. Well, we'll stay in Texas. Hi, Gary. Go ahead.
Thank you, my caller. I wanted a clarification on a letter I got from a long-term care health insurance, long-term care for my wife.
All
had
right.
It for about 17 years now, and the rates keep going up. But anyway, as a result of that, the rates going up, I guess they had a class action settlement, and I got a letter from them, and they're giving me now five options to settle on, and I just wanted to kind of run this by you and see what you thought.
Okay.
No, they.
Yeah. Let me just say this. I've got to hit a break here, Gary. I'm sorry to hear about that, though. I know this is challenging. We're seeing this happen across the board. People are living longer. You know, they're claiming for longer periods of time, and then these companies are having to keep large cash reserves to make sure they can keep up with the rising cost of Medicare, medical costs. That's all resulting in higher premiums. Let me take a break. We'll come back, and then I'd love to explore those five options. We'll be right back.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we want God to be your ultimate treasure and money, well, money to be a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We've got lines open today. Looking forward to taking your call at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. The cost of living rises every year, which makes for paying basic expenses more difficult. Long-term care premiums are increasing too, and it's become a focal point in the last several months in particular as rates have gone up. Some folks have seen their rates rise by 50% over the last 20 years. And so, that can be a real challenge, putting a squeeze on the family budget. This is happening in large part because folks are living longer. So we've got longer lifespan. We've got high premiums that include lapse rates. We've got rising costs in the healthcare industry, and all of that has resulted in these increasing premiums. Well, Gary in Texas is wondering how to deal with his. He has an unusual situation, though, that relates to a class action suit. They've given him five options. And Gary, explain to us what they've asked you to consider.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let me tell you what I got presently and then what they're wanting to reduce it to. Right now I have the monthly benefits a little over $11,000. Inflation benefits is 5% compounded. It's 30-day facility. Benefit period is 4 years, and the benefit total lifetime benefits is over $500,000. Yeah. But now they gave me this option one, which they call enhanced reduced paid-up benefit, which would still hold at $11,000 monthly benefit, but the total lifetime benefit, they'd do away with the inflation benefit, and the total lifetime benefit would be $85,000 with no more annual premiums. Option two on that thing is that they would give me a cash payment of $10,000, still hold it at the $11,000 monthly benefit, but it would drop it down. The lifetime benefit would be $46,000. A little over $46,000 with no annual premium. Yeah. And now they go to option three, which is remove inflation benefit and revert to original monthly max plus $6,000 cash payment. In other words, my monthly benefit would be $4,500 for a benefit period of 4 years. Total lifetime benefit would be $216,000. And option four, would be a cash payment of $1,200, monthly benefit $8,528, still keep the inflation benefit of 5%, and everything would stay the same, but my total lifetime benefit would be reduced to $409,000 for a premium of $3,306. And option five is a cash payment of $6,000, monthly benefit amount of $5,000, a little over $5,000. And 1% inflation benefit compounded, of course, and then a benefit period 4 years, and lifetime benefit would be $260,000, a little over $260,000 for an annual premium of $2,200. So I know that's a lot there, but
yeah. Very good. Do you have some confidence in this insurance company? I mean, have you read on, and you don't have to give me the name, but are you concerned about, their ability to make good on this?
Well, in that letter, they specified that the AM Best had rated them at C++, and they even said they have a marginal ability to meet the ongoing obligations, So I don't know if that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously that's a concern. Now, there are remedies to that if for some reason they were to, have some sort of failure, and there are some protections there. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your ability to continue these premiums at a reduced level. I mean, for instance, if you were to look at option four, you know, which I like the fact that you're keeping the inflation benefit. I like the fact that you're getting up to $8,500 a month, because we know that, you know, full nursing care is going to run you $10,000 a month plus. And I like that it keeps that lifetime benefit up at $409,000. I mean, that still gives you a good, you know, bit of running room there, because, you know, often, you know, you can need this for 2, 3, 4 years, and obviously that can add up. But that's a pretty hefty premium at $3,306 a month or a year. So how does that compare to what you're paying today? And do you have the ability to do that?
Well, if it depends if they keep going up on it like they keep doing. I have to, I mean, not real easy. I have to scrape a little bit to make those payments. But what really concerns me is they also said in their letter that they do plan to seek more rate increases. And it said a 68% increase that is currently scheduled to be implemented over the next 3 years. Wow. And this supposedly has been approved by the state, you know.
Yeah,
but that hasn't taken effect. So that concerned me a little bit.
Yeah. You know, this is one of the challenges, and it's why, you know, I will often say I like this product, but I also want to make sure you're probably with just one of a handful of insurers who are really committed to this space, have the financial wherewithal. Now, you know, a lot of this is happening across the board in terms of the premium increases, not quite to this extent. And obviously, they're much higher rated companies. But the reality is, as I said earlier, people are living longer. They're claiming longer. We've got lapsed policies that, you know, have affected this. And just the incredible rise of medical care costs, you know, is all, you know, kind of a perfect storm, if you will, that is, you know, putting pressure on these policies. Here's what I'd like to do, Gary. I appreciate you running through these options. And, you know, I'm inclined for you to, because you've been paying on this so long and because this, there's a significant potential. I mean, we know 70% plus of 65-year-olds will need long-term care. And because of how expensive it is, I'd hate to see, you know, take one of these options where, you know, they just basically gut this policy. So I'd love for you to hang on to it. I'm also concerned about the rating of this company. I'm also concerned about the potential for increases down the road. So this is what I'd like to do. I want to connect you with an insurance, long-term care insurance specialist who could just help you evaluate these options, help you look at your financial situation, maybe dig a little deeper into this company itself. Before we, you know, I just give you kind of an off-the-cuff response here, because this is a big decision. So let's do this. My team's going to get your information. I'll get you somebody in touch with you to help you evaluate this at a little deeper level, and we'll go from there. God bless you, sir. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom Advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Progressive elites in Hollywood, big tech, mainstream media, and higher academia are lying to our next generation. They want to convince our young people that America's biblical foundation is offensive, outdated, and must be overthrown. Your gift today will unleash AFA action to share the timeless truth of why protecting the biblical family is essential to the survival of the American Republic. You'll also get the free DVD and booklet set, Progressive Threat to the American Republic. Visit AFAaction.net.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Coming up in our next segment, Bob Dahl will stop by. Bob will weigh in on the markets this week. We've got a slight revision downward in consumer spending. That data out last week, retail sales were more disappointing than we expected in January. What does that mean for the markets? What about this Magnificent Seven? Did you realize that, this is fascinating, the Magnificent Seven, those seven stocks, those mega cap stocks we talk about, like NVIDIA and Apple and Meta and others, their profits now exceed almost every country in the world. Amazing. Should we be concerned about that? We'll get Bob Dahl to weigh in on that and more just around the corner. Let's head back to the phones. We've got a couple of lines open. Room for your financial question today before we round out the broadcast here. 800-525-7000. Call right now, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Jeff. How can I help?
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm 61 and a half. My wife's 66 and a half, and we're looking at, she's already retired. We're looking at myself possibly retiring at 65. And we're in the process of considering an annuity. It's an F&G, I can't remember the term, but basically it's an index annuity, but you can lock in a monthly income rate within 3 to 10 years at a 7% rate of return. And then in addition to that, our Social Security. So we're looking at, my wife will be 70, maxing out her Social Security. I'll be 65. And my question is, for an annuity like that, I mean, is that something you agree with? And at this time that the rates seem pretty high, like adding that into the retirement planning? And also my other question was, with Social Security, I think it's only funded currently at the full amount through, I think, 2036. So if I start taking it later, I might have more for a shorter period of time, or should I start taking that sooner to have a guaranteed amount for a longer period of time?
Yeah, great questions, Jeff. Let's start with Social Security. I like waiting. You are correct that the trust fund will be depleted. At that point, just based on the way the demographics work out, even if it runs to zero, which they'll make some changes, in my view, well before then. It's just too much of a political hot potato not to. Even if they let it run dry, they'll still pay 70% of benefits. But what's going to happen is, in my estimation, is they will either increase full retirement age, continue bumping that up, or make increased FICA taxes, which will create more revenue. I mean, there will be some levers that they pull to keep that fully funded, paying 100% of benefits. It will likely have more of an impact on folks who are still working than they are, than it will on someone like you who's already paid in. Your full retirement age is kind of already locked in, although it can change. And you've already been paying FICA taxes all these years. And so if those go up, it'll affect, obviously, folks who are still working much more so than you. So I wouldn't worry about that. I like that guaranteed increase of 8%. 8% a year, waiting until age 70, if you can, meaning you don't need the money, either you're continuing to work or something like that. In terms of pairing an annuity with it, if you know, if you've got a 7% guarantee for a period of time, I like that. I mean, you give up some flexibility because if you needed a large, you know, tranche of money for some unexpected major expense, it's going to, you know, be harder to get to it without surrender charges and penalties. There are some other fees built in as well. But if you'd like to see this as a major part or at least one piece of your overall retirement plan, and you like the idea of shifting the risk to the insurance company in exchange for a, you know, a pretty good rate of return, and not having to rely on the market risk, as long as you understand, you know, some of what you're giving up, then I don't have a problem with that. These are not all created equal, so I'd make sure you get, you know, two or three opinions on this in terms of the actual product you use. But it certainly is not something I would, you know, discourage you against as long as you've done your homework. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, that's the annuity be using up about 60% of our savings, but we have the other 40% liquid if we needed that for emergencies. Yeah. And then the annuity would take account for about 40% of our monthly income needs and Social Security, the balance of it.
Yep.
This one has more expenses than some other ones, but then a higher rate of return. But we're not looking for death benefit or anything.
Right.
So was kind of my question. I mean, I know there are more expenses, but does it really matter if we have a guaranteed rate or a guaranteed monthly payout for life? I mean, how does that expense really affect things in the annuity?
Yeah. I mean, I think the key is, as long as is first, and this is what you're keying off of, that guaranteed monthly payout, that, you know, covers your lifestyle need. And when you look at that plus Social Security, if you're there and, you know, you're factoring in inflation, so that would be another issue. As long as you've got enough coming in there, then I think that is the key point. But I would just look at, you know, what are you giving up in terms of, you know, access to the funds, being able to leave an inheritance, being able to tap into larger, you know, chunks of money if you need to along the way. If, in fact, you know, this money is gone at the death of you and your spouse, then, you know, there's nothing left at that point versus keeping access to the full amount, you know, being able to invest it, live off the income. Yes, we're taking more risk, but we also could, you know, make a major withdrawal. And ideally, if it's managed properly and you've got enough that you've amassed, you have, you know, somewhere close to, if not the full balance, still available at death. And now you're giving that away to ministry or charity. You're passing it on to the kids. So, I mean, I think that's the other factor here is, yes, we want to solve for your monthly need, but what are we giving up? And as long as you've really, you know, thought through and prayed through that, then I'm certainly on board with it.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for, I really appreciate you taking the time. I'm trying to get different opinions just to make the best decisions. So.
Yeah, sounds good. If you need another opinion from an advisor who can actually look at the details of it, you can reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in Tennessee on our website, faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional. And we appreciate your call. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to North Carolina. Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I heard your program. I listen to it all the time, but I happen to be on the road when you covered the subject of how to deed my home in order to avoid probate, and yet still keep it available should I need the funds from the sale of that to fund long-term care or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm 80 years old.
Okay.
And I'm widowed with no children.
Okay.
And the house is paid for, and I have enough investments that I can live off of the RMD and Social Security.
Okay.
With a pretty good cushion, but it's time for me to redo the deed for the house because my husband passed away, and I need to go ahead and get it from his name into mine. I mean, I'm the sole heir, so
sure.
But you mentioned a revocable trust, which I was somewhat familiar with, and my attorney has talked to me about that. But you mentioned another type of deed that I had never heard from. Do you recall that?
I do. Yes, ma'am. And thanks for the background on all that. Sounds like you're doing a great job. It's called a transfer on death deed, TOD for short, transfer on death deed. It is available in North Carolina, not in every state, and it just allows you to designate a beneficiary who inherits the property upon your death, avoiding probate, a little less costly than a revocable trust. So ask your attorney about that, TODD. We'll be right back.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend, Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. Also, Bob Dahl joining us here in just a moment. Looking forward to getting into the latest on the markets and the economy with Bob. But after we speak with Bob, we will have room for one or two more questions at 800-525-7000. All right, Bob Dahl is Chief Executive Officer and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global, where investments and values intersect, a frequent contributor on Fox Business and a Wall Street veteran. And we always are grateful for his time. Bob, good morning and top of the week to you, sir.
Same to you, my friend.
Hey, I was looking over your Dahl's deliberations this morning. Boy, there's a lot there. Let's start with retail sales. I know a lot of this expectation about this so-called soft landing the Fed is trying to engineer this year is dependent upon the continued strength of the consumer, right? So what do we make of that data, and what does that mean for the prospects of recession this year?
Well, the background, of course, is the consumer has been very strong, Rob, as you know, largely due to good job positioning. But retail sales in the month of January were disappointing, down 0.8% month over month, and importantly, revised down another 0.5% for November and December. Does this suggest a potential downshift to consumer spending? Time will tell. You know, we don't ever take one statistic and say, here's the answer. But it is a warning shot for the consumer, and we need to keep our eye on it very carefully because there are other things to suggest that maybe the consumer's a little bit running out of steam, the decline in the excess savings that we've talked about on this program from time to time.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Bob, what about earnings? Obviously, that's the other piece of this that is going to have a lot to do with whether or not we can continue to prop up this economy. What are you seeing now as we still have or some to come, but I guess a good bit of the earnings are already in, right?
Yes, they are, and the answer is mixed. If you're a bull, you can find something you like, and if you're a bear, you can find something you don't like. For example, the numbers have been 75% the companies reported positive earnings surprises. That sounds great, but it's below the long-term average. And coming into the quarter, we had a lot of downward revisions, more than usual. So a mixed picture, like so much in the markets.
Yeah. Bob, let's talk about the Magnificent Seven. I read this morning that the Magnificent Seven profits now exceed almost every country in the world. Should we be concerned just about how big of a driver they are in this global economy?
Well, yes and no. You never like it when so few companies kind of drive almost everything. As you saw in our deliberations in 2023, the Magnificent Seven grew their earnings by 31%. The other 493, 2%.
Wow.
So thank goodness for the Magnificent Seven in some sense. Valuation, Rob, is up for the Magnificent Seven, but it's nowhere near the excess we saw, as listeners may remember, in the tech bubble in the year 2000. So we think those companies, because of AI and a bunch of other things, will continue to be important markers for the U.S. economy, and we want them to succeed and bring the other 493 along at a little better pace.
Yeah, yeah, very good. All right, Bob, you know, as we round it out today here, what are you watching this week, and what's kind of guiding your thinking as you look at the rest of the year?
Well, certainly earnings, as we just pointed out, and that will be a result of the economy, which is the other thing, therefore, we have to watch carefully. That shot across the bow with the retail sales for the consumer, to be watched very carefully. And we also got, Rob, last week, inflation numbers that were disappointing. The consensus has been soft landing, inflation comes down, Fed can reduce rates. It's not going to be a straight line, so we have to watch all that carefully. In the meantime, Washington, D.C. continue to spend a lot more money than they take in, Rob.
Yeah, very good. All right, Bob, we're always grateful for your insights, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds like a plan. Goodbye.
All right, take care. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more and sign up for his Dahl's Deliberations at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, we're going to head back to the phones here. Let's go to Texas. Steve, you'll be next up on the program, sir. Go ahead. Hi, Steve. Are you there?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hello. Go ahead. Hi.
I'm 68 years old, and I have about $90,000 in an IRA that just matured. And I would like to keep this in an IRA for tax purposes, but I would also like to draw some income from it. And I'm just wondering what would be the best place to put it without obligating it for another 5 years.
Yeah. So what just came due? Did you say you had it in a CD?
No, it was in an IRA account with a financial advisor, and it, you know, it was obligated for 5 years, and I just reached that. So it's no longer obligated for 5 years, and they want to put it in the account again for 5 years, and I really don't want to do that.
What type of IRA or investment inside the IRA requires you to commit to a five-year obligation? What type of investment is it?
I really don't know the right name for it, but it was an account where it could not lose. It could go to zero, but not lose. But it would gain based on the S&P 500.
Oh,
but it was capped off. But it didn't make nearly as much as the S&P 500 does. But
yeah, got it. So you had it in an insurance product or an annuity, and you know there was a floor on it, but they didn't give you 100% of the upside. Well, it's a good question. You know, I guess the first question is, what are your needs here? I mean, so it's $90,000. Are you pulling any income from this?
Not at this time, no, sir.
Okay. And as you think about this in the future, how does this fit into your overall retirement plan? What other retirement assets do you have?
Well, I have, of course, I have Social Security, and I also have a retirement from where I worked. My wife has a retirement as well, so we're doing pretty good. And I don't really need it, but you know, it's like my financial advisor is kind of like save for the future, but it's kind of at 68. I'm thinking the future is here, you know.
Yes, no, I certainly understand that. Would you be? I mean, are you really focused on getting something that's guaranteed, or would you be willing to have this invested in a way that, you know, you get 100% of the upside, you do have downside risk, but you manage that through the asset allocation, making sure you're not, you know, being unnecessarily aggressive with your investment selections? I mean, would that be something that you'd be more interested in? Because then you don't have any kind of 5-year commitment. You don't, you know, you have full access to the money when you need it. Yes, you're taking the downside risk because it's invested in stocks and bonds, but, you know, you're looking for the upside return over the long haul to offset that. Because the reality is, Steve, you know, even once you reach age 65, we need to be thinking about this money, despite not knowing what the Lord has for each of us, right? He could call us home in the next minute. But apart from that, we need this money to last, let's say, 30 years. So we're looking 3 decades out in terms of our investment strategy. And because of that, and with inflation and so forth, we would, you know, typically as a 65-year-old, we might take, 40 to 50% of this and put it in stocks, and, you know, the other 50 to 60% in bonds, you know, and then you have access to the money. There's no lockups. Yes, you can lose money on the downside, but because you have the long time horizon, you know, that's what we stay focused on. How does that approach feel versus something like what you were in previously?
Not so well. I've got some more money that I'm going to be, I'll be riskier with, but now I would like to keep this safe, you know?
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I think from that standpoint, if you're really looking for a guarantee, then, you know, the best thing for you would be, you know, to go back into one of these products. So then the question is, just given that they're not all created equal, is this the best one just in terms of what they're providing for you? Is it a guaranteed rate of return with a fixed interest rate, or is it variable where, as it sounds like you had previously, you get a portion of the upside, but it's dependent on stock market returns with the floor, no downside? You know, those are two different options. And so maybe before you consider going back into this, I might shop it around, at least get a second or a third opinion from another advisor who could weigh in with another product, because there's just so many options out there. You want to make sure that you're getting, the very best thing for you. So I would just say, if you want to take a look at other kind of guaranteed products like this, perhaps connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Texas on our website at faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional at the top of the page. We appreciate your call today, sir. To Montana. Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm calling regarding our grandkids. We wanted to look into a 529. Our son has one going for his children, so we wondered, can we give our money to theirs? Can we put it into their 529? Is that better, or should we start our own?
Yeah, you certainly can put it in theirs, and I kind of like the idea, Linda, of you all having all this in one place. It just, you know, tends to be a really helpful approach, because then we're not dealing with multiple accounts. The investments can be selected in a way that are appropriate. So I love the idea of you all helping to build that account up. That'll be a great blessing to him down the road. 529 is my favorite college planning vehicle because of the tax-free growth, kind of like a Roth IRA. And you absolutely can contribute to the one that they have. And, you know, there's really you can essentially put in an unlimited amount. I mean, you wouldn't put in more than you'd think you could spend on a college education. But these days, that's quite a bit of money. So I like that plan, Linda. I'd see about contributing to the same one, okay?
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Can I give money in a 529 for a private Christian grade school, high school type?
You can. They can use up to $10,000 for K-12 for private education, up to $10,000 out of that 529. So, yes, ma'am, the answer is you sure can. Thanks for your call. May the Lord bless you. Folks, that's going to do it for us. So thankful for my team, Adam Suddeth, Robert Youngblood, Jim Henry, and Devin Patrick, pushing all the buttons, making it happen. We'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.